Today's shiur is Maseches Sanhedrin Daf Yud Aleph. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we begin our Shiur today of Daf Yud Aleph, the first few words are going to be found at the bottom of Daf Yud Amud Beis. The Gemara opens up with a simen, words that are designed to help in remembering the topics that will be covered in the ensuing lines. Zman nosi tzorech gedi simon. Before we continue with the Gemara itself, let us take advantage of one of the wonderful features of our marking system, the topic headings and structural notes that one will find generally in the outside margin. In this case, we have a Nosei Mivne, where we combine the topic heading with the structural note in one comment. We will be seeing diamonds featured, and we also have a note, and we've emphasized it, that this series will be lasting till Daf Yud Gimel. That represents a very long, very unusual phenomenon of a series lasting that many dapim. The diamonds represent a, and we read the comment, Sidra, a series, Shel Braisei Sumemros, Tanaic sources and other remarks, Shematchilim, that begin with the expression Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashana, or possibly Ma'abrin Es Hashana. References to sources and comments that deal with the issue of the extension of a year. The extension of a Jewish calendar involves the possible adding of a second Adar, of an extra month. The reasons for attempting to add an extra month are several. One of the main issues to bear in mind, if not the most important issue to bear in mind, is that the calendar is based on 12 months that are based on the lunar cycle. So, simply put, 12 lunar cycles would complete a year. However, another major factor in establishing the Jewish calendar is the synchronizing of the Jewish months, of the lunar months, with solar phenomena. Solar phenomena represent particularly the seasons. We have Chodesh Ha'aviv, Tkufas Ha'aviv. We refer to them often by the four terms, Tkufas Nisan, Tkufas Tammuz, Tkufas Tishrei, and Tkufas Teves, corresponding basically to the four seasons, spring, autumn, winter, the fall, and then the winter. It is very important, therefore, that the holiday of Pesach, Passover, comes out in a solar season we refer to as springtime, which is characterized by certain external environmental phenomena. One of those includes the ripening of the grains. Chodesh Ha'aviv. Chodesh Ha'aviv, the month of Nisan, is supposed to turn out during Tkufas Aviv. So in order to create this synchronizing of solar phenomena with the lunar calendar, bearing in mind that the solar year is approximately 365 days, a little more we know, and the lunar calendar 12 months will come out to 354 days, approximately. There are variations, and we're not going to dwell on the details at this point in our discussion. The Gemara itself will dwell on details down to a day, But for our purposes, if you see, you notice already, 354 is not exactly, doesn't correspond to 365. There's an overlap. Therefore, every couple years, in order to compensate for that overlap, we add another month to the Jewish calendar, to the lunar calendar, and thereby create this synchronizing. That having been said, let us now continue with the Gemara. We open up with a Tanaic source, and the marking system, Tanaic sources, are denoted by a frame around the lines that are part of the Tanaic source. Tanu Rabbanan, Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashona, Ela B'mezumonim La. The decision to extend the year, the calculations, and that lead up to the decision is made only by those that have been invited by the Nasi, by the leader of the Jewish people. Maisa b'Rabban Gamliel, Rabban Gamliel was the Nasi, Shomar, who instructed, Hishkimu li shiva l'aliyah. I want people to come tomorrow morning, seven people, to come to the literally the attic, or the chamber, the upper level chamber that was reserved for the court to sit in. Hishkimu Matzah Shmoina. He himself arrived in the morning and found not seven but eight people there. Omar, Rabban Gamliel, reacted, Misha Olo Shalo Bershus Yereid. He who arrived here without permission, I want him to leave. Omad Shmuel HaKotan, the Omar. Shmuel HaKotan gets up and is about to declare something. But before we learn what he is going to declare, let us take advantage of some of our markings and some of our introductory notes. The topic that we're dealing with right now is featured in the outside margin, the Nosei Ein Ma'abri Nes Hashona Ela B'chachomim HaMezumonim Al Yidei HaNosi. As we just said, that the decision to extend the year is made by those that have been invited by the leader. The next point we want to take note of is our Nosei Mivneh, where we have this bow tie featured. The bow tie ties us in to another series. The series is represented in the note on the outside margin. Anoshim Shemehem Loindim Lechapois Al Achirim Lehatsilam Mibusha. We're going to be featuring names of people from whom we learn the principle of protecting the honor of others, like covering for others. As we'll see in the stories that follow, in several of the stories, it involves taking the blame, absorbing the blame for something that one himself didn't even do, but for the sake of protecting others. That's just one example of this idea, but the general idea is the issue of someone's honor is at stake, there is an attempt to cover up his embarrassment. So in the story we just saw, we saw Rabban Gamliel demanding that the one who arrived here without being invited, I want him to leave. Shmuel HaKotan arises and says, V'yomar, ani hu shalisi shelo birshus, I am the one that arrived here without permission. V'lo la'aber hashono alisi, I didn't come here to participate in the actual extension process. Eluloid halocha l'maisa hutzrachti, but I wanted to learn the practical laws, how things are done. I wanted to see how things are done. Omar Loi, so Rabban Gamliel said, Shave, Bini, shave. Sit, my son, sit. Ru Yois, Kol Hashonim, Kulon, Lesaber, Al Yodcha. All the years are fit to be extended through your efforts. Elo Amru Chachomim, Ein Ma'abri, Nes Hashonah, Elo B'mezumonim La. However, the Chachomim said that years are extended only through those that were invited to participate in the process. The Gemara now comments, V'lo Shmuel HaKotan Havei. Shmuel HaKotan, in fact, was not the uninvited individual. Elo Inish Achrina. Someone else was there who was not invited, who went there anyway. U'machmas Kisufa Huda Ovad. And because of Kisufa, embarrassment, Shmuel Katan, acted the way he acted, trying to absorb the blame for himself. At this point in the Gemara, we notice the very, very significant marking, the brackets, and we have an indicator as to how long the bracketed section will last by a special dash-dotted line, vertical dash-dotted line that appears at this point to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text between the Gemara and the Rashi. This is a rather long bracketed section. We want to note ahead of time that it happens from time to time that within this bracketed section there's an internal brackets, and we'll explain the reason for all of these things momentarily. You'll notice these internal brackets starting on the fifth wide line of the Gemara, and once again there is a length indicator that you see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text of these brackets within a brackets. They both conclude at the same line where the larger, the external brackets and the internal bracketed section finishes, at which point you can already look ahead and notice a Tana Rabbanan. And once again, we get back to the series of sources that have featured Ein Ma'abri Nes Hashana. You'll notice the diamond at that point in the Gemara. And after that source, another source follows. And as we said, this is a rather comprehensive series of sources featuring Ein Ma'abri Nes Hashana. However, before we get to that, let us dwell on the structure of the Gemara. We just mentioned Shmuel HaKotan as being an individual who attempted to absorb the embarrassment to save someone else from experiencing that. Notice we have an asterisk at the beginning of the bracketed section. This draws your attention to a note we have, in this case in the inside margin, He'ora, Sograyim Toch Sograyim. This section of Gemara will feature brackets within brackets. Achrei HaSograyim, after these brace form brackets, HaGemara Tachzor Le'inyin Ma'abrin Es Hashana. The Gemara will go back to the issue, the general topic of extension of years. Point Aleph, Haketa HaRishon B'toch HaSograyim, Inyono, the first section that's bracketed, namely the overall brackets, the longer brackets, its topic is Chipui Al Acherim L'mnoa Busha, cover for others to protect them from experiencing embarrassment. Beis, Haketa HaSheni, Shehu B'toch HaSograyim, the second section that's within the larger brackets, the internal section featured by these angular brackets, have a Brisa, it in effect is a long Tanaic source. Shemuva Piglal Shagmor Lefonel Hiskira Eshmol HaKotan. It is mentioned, it is brought in only because the Gemara beforehand, when we just saw it, the Gemara had mentioned Shmuel HaKotan. He will be featured within this internal bracketed section. With all that having been said, we will continue the Gemara straight through without skipping the bracketed section, because we already know ahead of time that the Gemara after the bracketed section will be picking up with the series of sources Ein Ma'abrin Es Hashana. The Gemara continues, Kiha Diyosiv Rebbe. A similar story to this idea of covering for someone's embarrassment involved Rebbe, who was sitting, the Kodoresh, and he was expounding on some halachic points, giving a shiur, v'hiriach reach shum, and he smelled a smell of garlic. Omar, Rebbe exclaimed, mi she'ochal shum yetzei, whoever ate the garlic should leave. Omar Rebbe Chia v'yotza. Rebbe Chia got up and walked out. Omdu kulon v'yotzu. And everyone else walked out. Bashachar, the next morning, Motzoi Rebbe Shimon b'Rebbe l'Rebbe Chia. The son of Rebbe, Rebbe Shimon, met Rebbe Chia. Omar Le, Rebbe Shimon asked him, Atahu shetziarta l'Abba, you're the one that caused father this discomfort? Omar Lo, Lo tei kazos b'Yisrael. Notice the use of the connector marking we have after the word lo tehe. Instead of reading the Gemara as simply omalo lo, and it is simply saying, and he responded, no, but rather the proper understanding of the Gemara is lo tehe. Hence, so as not to stop at the wrong place, we include this connector marking. So we said, Rabbi Chia responded, said, lo tehe kozos b'Israel. Such a thing should not be in the midst of Israel. Rather, what he's trying to say is, no, I certainly am not the one that ate the garlic. And it was understood that he walked out so as to protect the dignity of the one who really did eat the garlic. From where did Rabbi Chia learn this behavior? It's very interesting to note, maybe as a commentary on the Gemara, that behavior and manners and acts of goodness are to be learned from a tradition. It is not sufficient for one to come up with good ideas on his own, because sometimes one thinks he's doing a good idea, but it has negative ramifications, it has negative side effects, if you will. Therefore, if one wants to know how to perform truly wholesome good deeds, the only way to really know that is by determining the source of the good deed and analyzing it through the Torah. And there's a lot more to say on this particular topic, but in the context of our shir, we are to go on. The Gemara just asked Rabbi Chia, where did he learn this refined behavior from? The answer, May Rabbi Meir. Desanya, Maisa b'isha achas shebosu lebeis midrashish Rabbi Meir. A woman once came to the base medrash of Rabbi Meir, the study hall, or Rabbi Meir's yeshiva, Omra lo. She declared, Rabbi, echad mikem kitshani b'biyah. One of the students here, offered marriage to me through the act of intimacy, which is one of the ways of entering the matrimonial bond. However, the Gemara doesn't view that as the preferred way in general, and that's really brought out in its full sense by Shitas Rav that appears in the Gemara elsewhere. And the Gemara says, Rav mangir amande mekadesh biyo, Rav would suggest lashes for one who entered the matrimonial bond through biyo, even though it's a legitimate form of matrimony. Nevertheless, this lady who came to the base marriage claimed, one of you married me, Omad Rabbi Meir, because of Loget Krisus. Rabbi Meir wrote a divorce document to her as if he were the one that married her through this approach. The Nosan law, and he prepared the get and gave it to her, thereby showing that he's divorcing her. Apparently, everyone took this as a cue, and Amdu b'kasvu kulam v'nasnu lo. Everyone in the Beis Medrash themselves prepared a get for this woman and gave it to her. Thereby, whoever the person was, certainly divorced her in this collection of different gittin. The right one definitely got to her. The Rabbi Meir's behavior, of course, was in order to protect the dignity of the one who, in fact, did marry her through this method. Rabbi Meir mehecha gomar lo, mishmuel hakoton. Ushmuel hakoton mehecha gomar lo, mishachanya ben Yechiel. So we more asked, where did Rabbi Meir learn this from? And more point out from Shmuel hakoton, If anyone forgot the reference to Shmuel Cotton, we've provided for your convenience arrows in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you find the corresponding arrow pointing to the line in which Shmuel Cotton's name was featured above. Shmuel Cotton himself, where did he learn the practice from? Mishachanya ben Yechiel. He was a figure that was at the time of Ezra, the time of the return from the Babylonian exile after 70 years of Golos at the point of the destruction of the first temple, Churban Bayis Rishon. And the issue that was dealt with in the context of that the Gemara is going to quote from was the issue of mass intermarriage on the part of the Jewish community in this particular case, the community of Jews that were leaving Bavel to enter Eretz Israel, and they were approaching Eretz Israel with their non-Jewish wives. Intermarriage is something that, of course, Judaism does not accept. Vayan Shechanya ben Yechiel mibnei Elam vayomer leEzra anachnu mo'alnu, and the emphasis here is the fact that he, the speaker Shechanya, is including himself in his plea, if you will. He's claiming that we have sinned, belokenu, we've sinned against God, v'noshav noshim nochrius me'ame horetz, by taking in non-Jewish women from the general population. The ato yesh mikveh liYisrael alzos, but now there is hope for Israel. And if one wants to see the continuation of the story, one can certainly open up Sefer Ezra, the book of Ezra, Perek Yud, Pasuk. We quote it from Pasuk Beis and see the entire story. However, the point being, and this Rashi emphasizes, under the Dibur Maskil, Anachnu Mo'alnu, he says, V'hu lo nosa nochris, Shechanya ben Yechiel did not marry the non-Jewish woman. However, V'hichnis atzmo b'chlal, shelo lahal bin p'neya, but he included himself in this plea so as not to embarrass the others. The Gemara continues, U'shechanya ben Yechiel me'echo gomalo, from where did he learn it? Mi'Yehoshua. He learned it from an incident concerning Yehoshua, in which we find the Kodesh Baruch Hu did not want to reveal who the sinner was. And when the Kodesh Baruch Hu was addressing the issue, he included everybody in the issue of the sin, even though there was only one sinner. The Gemara continues, Dichtiv, Vayomer Hashem el Yehoshua, Kumloch, Loma ze'ato nefel alponecha, Chota Yisrael. Hashem says to Yehoshua, get up from your falling on your face, from your prayers. I want you to know that Israel sinned. The Gemara explains a little bit. Omar Lefonov, Yehoshua asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Michata, who is the sinner? Omar Lo, the Kodesh Baruch Hu answers, and notice we've featured this expression referring to Kodesh Baruch Hu in a bow tie marking, because it is from this that we learn the idea of covering for others. Rabbi Kodesh Baruch Hu says, V'chi diltor ani, do you think I am a squealer? Lech hateil garolosa. In other words, I'm not going to reveal who the one, I'm not going to say who it was. If you want to find out who it was, so cast lots, and through that you'll discover who it was. The Iboyesema, another approach, is learning from an incident involving Moshe. We've scribbled underline the expression Iboyesema as one of our markings indicating alternative, an alternative approach, and to be learned from the incident involving Moshe. The Pasuk says, Dichtiv, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe, ad ono me'antem. The word me'antem is in the plural, and it's inclusive of everybody. How long is it going to be that you are going to all be refusing to accept my mitzvahs, my teachings, my rules? Rashi says, me'antem kulon b'chlal, v'hare kulam lo yotzu lukait. It's not as if everyone went out on Shabbos to collect the mon, which they were not supposed to do. Elo miksas, just several people did it, few of them. Tichtiv yotzu min ha'om lilkot. The pasuk says they went forth from the people to go out and collect the mon. However, when the Kodesh Baruch Hu addresses the issue, he says it regarding everybody, so as to protect the embarrassment, the shame of those that actually did it. We encounter right now the internal brackets. The Gemara will now bring a Tanaic source in which a reference is made to Shmuel HaKotan. Outside of that reference, there isn't any further connection between this particular section and the section immediately preceding it. And certainly no connection to the general topic of Ibur Shana. In fact, Rashi points this out in the Dibur Masvil Misha Mesu Neviim v'chulei, and he says Mishum Shmuel Hakotan Nokat Lohacha, because of a reference made to Shmuel Hakotan, this source is brought in over here. So the topic of this source will be that through the generations, different points in time, there were people of very great spiritual, very high spiritual level, so much so that they were fit spiritually to have a divine presence set upon them. And the only reason that we don't see that in its full force is because they were living in a generation that was not fit to have such a phenomenon take place. The Gemara continues, Ton Rabbana, Mishemesu Neviim Hoachronim Chagai Zechar Malachi, Nistalka Ruach HaKadosh Mi'Yisrael, that at the point the last of the prophets died, the spiritual level of connection to the Kodesh Baruch Hu, known as Ruach HaKadosh, departed from Israel. The Afal Pikein Hoyu Mishtamshin Bebaskol, and even though Ruach HaKodesh no longer was part of the Jewish experience, there was nevertheless a lower form of divine communication known as Baskoil. We've featured here with a double underline the expression Pa'am Achas Hoyu Mesubin, as you will see that this appears again. Pa'am Achas Hoyu Mesubin Ba'aliyas Beis Gurya B'Yerichoi, that they were once sitting in this attic of Beis Gurya in the city of Yericho, Venosno Aleim Baskol Min HaShemayim, and there came forth a heavenly voice. We mentioned Baskol as being some form of divine communication after the Ruach HaKodesh level departed. And what did the Baskol declare? Yesh kan echod sheroi shetashre olov shechina. There is someone amongst you that himself has the qualities or is fit to have Hashroya Shechina, divine presence upon him. Eloshein Doro Zakoi Lakach, but he's living in a generation that doesn't have the merit for this. Nosnu Chachomes Einem Behilul Azokin. They all knew who was being referred to here, and they looked upon Hillel the Zokin. Ukshemes Omru Alav, and when Hillel died, they eulogized him as follows. Hey Chosid, hey Onav. Woe unto us who just lost the chassid, the pious man, and the humble man, Tamido Yishel Ezra, the student, so to speak, who followed in the ways of Ezra. Ezra was a tremendous Torah scholar and leader of Israel in his time, and Hillel was the same in his time. Shuv, Pa'am Achas Hoyu Mesubin Ba'aliyah B'Yavneh. A similar story happened in this case in a different place in Yavneh. V'nosnu Einayim Aleihem Baskol Min HaShemayim, and the heavenly voice came forth and said, Yesh Kan Echot Sheroi Shetashre Olov Shechina Elo She'ein Doro Zakoi Lekach. Nosnu Chachomem Esenayim B'Shmuel HaKotan. Notice how we've dashed underline Shmuel HaKotan. This is the reason that the source is being brought in here. So in this incident in Yavneh, they looked upon him. Ukshemes Omru Olov. They eulogized him similarly. Hey Chosid, hey Onov, Tamido Shel Hillel, the student of Hillel. Af hu Omar Bishas Misoso. In fact, he said, Shmuel HaKotan said when he was about to die, Rashi points out that he's going to make remarks now that when he made them, the events had not yet taken place. But his remarks show us that he had the divine presence upon him in that he was able to prophesize upcoming events. And what did he say that we will see constitutes prophecy? Shimon v'Yishmoel l'charbo. Shimon is a reference to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, who was a Nosi, and Yishmoel is a reference to Rabbi Shmoel ben Elisha Kohen Gadol. L'charbo, their fate is going to be at the sword. In other words, we know that they were amongst the Asora Haruge Malchus, they were killed. V'chavroi l'katla, and other Chachomim, others, their colleagues, Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Hanani ben Tradion, they will experience other deaths, katla deaths. Rabbi Akiva's flesh was scraped while he was alive with metal combs, and Rabbi Hanani ben Tradion was burnt alive as is featured in Maseches Avodah Zarah. Ushar Amo, the rest of the Jewish people, Lebiza, will be spoiled, conquered, and taken, and ravaged. V'arkon Sagion Asidon Lemese Al Alma. Arkon, troubles, Sagion, many troubles, Asidon, in the future, will Lemese, will come Al Alma on the world. V'al Yehuda ben Bava, Bikshu Lomar Kane. And regarding the great sage Yehuda ben Bava, there was a desire to offer the same type of hesped, the same type of eulogy, Eloshenitra Fasha, but they couldn't do it. The time was against them. Literally, the hour was ripped away from them. She'ein Maspidim al Haruge Malchus. They were in a very tight situation, and such that the Brisa says, we don't eulogize people that are killed by the king, by the government. The case being here that since there is fear of governmental repercussions, they hastily buried him and forfeited on the eulogy. Tana Rabbanan. At this point, we go back to the general topic of Ibor Shana, and you can see the brackets closed, and we go on with the diamond series. Ein ma'abrin es hashana eloim kein yirtze nasi. The extension of the year can take place only if the nasi so desires. It happened once that Rabbi Gamliel, who was the nasi, had to leave Eretz Yisrael to speak about public matters with the governmental representatives in Syria. V'shoha lavo, and he was delayed in returning. The Ibru es hashana al menas shiyutze Rav Gamliel, and they elected to add a month to the year, but conditionally, on condition that Rav Gamliel would approve with their decision. Ukshebo Rav Gamliel fi Omar roitzani, and when Rav Gamliel came, he said, "I do approve of it." Nimseis shana muberes, and the result being that their calculations and the decision to extend the year was accepted. Tana Rabbanan, Ein ma'abrin es hashana elam kein hoisa tzricha mipnei hadrochim u'mipnei hagsharim u'mipnei tanurei psachim u'mipnei golios Yisrael shenekru mimakoman v'adayin lo higiyo. So we have a list of things that are mentioned here that would be grounds for the extension of the year. The first is mipnei hadrochim, the roads. During the rainy season, if the roads were washed away, it will be very difficult to come on Aliyas HaRegel, to come during the holiday season, during Pesach, let us say, to Yerushalayim, which is an obligation of Aliyas HaRegel and the offering of Korbanos. As the roads, as we just mentioned, may have been washed away during the rainy season, and there wasn't enough time to have them repaired. So in order to buy time, so to speak, a decision could be made to extend the year, namely extend by adding another Adar, a second Adar, which is the month that precedes the month of Nisan in which Pesach falls out, and thereby they would gain time to see to it that the roads would be repaired. The second is Mipnei Hagsharim, very similar consideration where the bridges were washed away. The third point mentioned was Mipnei Tanurei Psachim, the Korban Pesach, which was of course offered on the eve of Pesach, the 14th of Nisan. It was slaughtered and roasted. And it was roasted in clay ovens. The tanurei psachim, in which the animals, the korban pesach was roasted, if as a result of the rains the clay ovens were ruined, and they would need to reform them and have them baked in the heat of the sun, if there wasn't enough time for that to take place, they saw that the season in which Pesach was to fall out was rapidly approaching, and their ovens were not ready yet. So once again, they could add a month of Adar, a month on Adar Sheni, thereby buying time in which the during which time the sun's heat would increase and enable the ovens to be dried out. And the fourth consideration mentioned here is Mipnei Golius Yisrael, the need to add time because of the people living far away from Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei HaGola, that were far away, that started on their journey, but they realized they wouldn't get to Yerushalayim on time. The emphasis right now is a reference to Golius Yisrael that started on their journey. Rashi says of Golius Yisrael, Bnei HaGola HaRachoikim, Vinishma leBeisdin. They are people that heeded the rules of Beisdin. Shenekru mimakom lalos leRegel lasos bischeim. They were on their way to come, but they didn't arrive yet. Vadayin lo higiu, and the situation was judged that if they don't add a month, they won't arrive on time. However, the Brisa goes on. Avol. This is a turnaround now, or a contrast point. Hence, we've squiggle underline the word aval to give a feeling of emphasis here. Avaloi mipnei hashelek. These are now reasons that we will not extend the year, even though one might have thought, these would be reasons also to try to buy time. We're not going to accept them. And the list is, velo, we have here, velo lo mipnei hashelek, velo mipnei hatzino, velo mipnei golius Yisrael shelo okru mimakoman. Going over the list, not because of snow. Rashi points out that even though it might be snowy, the snow is not going to prevent people from the trip. And likewise, v'lo mipnei hatzina, the cold, even though it seemed to be very cold and Nisan was rapidly approaching, that would not be reason for saying, let's hold off Pesach by adding another month until things get warmer. And likewise, v'lo mipnei golius Yisrael shelo okru mimkomen, we're not going to add a month because of those Jews who didn't start on their journey yet. They didn't start on their journey yet. Too bad for them. Tanu Rabbanan, ein ma'abrin es hashana. Another list will follow of other reasons, in this case, we will not extend the year. Even though one might have thought maybe these are reasons for it, the Brisa comes to tell us we do not. Lo mipnei hagdoyim, not because of the goats, the young goats that were still very small, very young. Goats were the type of animal from which people would bring a korban Pesach. So we're saying here that one might have thought, since they're very small, maybe we should add a month to enable them to grow a little more and be able to make the journey to Yerushalayim. So we're saying to that, no, as Rashi points out, Shari Yochol Lahakriv Ketanim, one can offer them even when they're small. Velo, the next point, Velo Mitnei HaTloyim, the Gdoyim and Tloyim, the lambs. And even though they were small, we still say, since you can offer them as in their very young state, that's not sufficient reason, therefore, for adding another month. V'lo mipnei ha-goizolos shelo pirhu. Goizolos are a reference to birds. Birds were offered as korbanos for women that gave birth. Kine yoldos, Rashi points out. The general practice was that the law is that after a woman gives birth and she goes through her Yemei Tuma and her Yemei Tara, she then brings korbanos. By bringing the korbanos, she is then thereby able to eat from kochim, to consume korbanos afterwards. Women often delayed in bringing these korbanos until the holiday time. The kine yoldos, there are also other bird offerings for zavin and zavos as well. The birds that are referred to over here, goizolos shel pirhu, they're young, they're very young birds, and they haven't started flying yet. even though they're very young, that's no reason to extend a month, to extend the year by a month to enable them to get older, because young birds, as if they're of the B'nai Yonah variety, they're kosher, even if they're very young. Avol, oisin oison sa'ad lishona. However, even though these reasons on their own cannot be grounds for adding a month to the year, nevertheless they can be used as an auxiliary reason for extending the year. The Rashi explains, Avol oisin oison sa'ad, siyog v'semach l'divrayim v'aber z'shona, im tzricho l'aber m'nei echod min advorim she'me'abrin aleihem. If we had one of the legitimate reasons for adding a month to the year, then this could be used to strengthen that need. Kigon, ala oviv, valpera se'ilon. For example, one of the reasons that we can add is if we see that the oviv, the spring season, is not going to coincide with Pesach. In other words, the spring season is going to come out. If we don't extend the year, Pesach will arrive, and the spring season has not yet arrived, or as is witnessed by the development of the grains. So therefore, that Oviv is one of the reasons that we will add a month. Valperos Elon, and that's another one of the reasons that we haven't seen yet, but it's featured in the Gemara coming up, that if the fruits are not yet, haven't yet ripened, so that when Shavuos comes about, which is the time for bringing the Bikurim, if we don't extend the year, we'll have a situation where Shavuos is already upon us and the fruit is not ready yet. So it is in our interest to extend the year, to delay the arrival of Shavuos by adding another Ador. Ramino Lekamon, Al Shtayim Mehen Ma'abrin, Al Echod Mehen Ein Ma'abrin. In the list that is featured later in the Gemara, it's mentioned that for two, you'll need two reasons that are found in that list that we haven't learned yet, but you'll need two of the reasons in order to extend the year. So we say over here, halalu, gedoyim, tloyim, v'gozolos, the items we mentioned just now, the young goat, sheep, or the birds that haven't developed yet, sad, panasu sad, umistafin le'echon mehem u'babrin. We can use these reasons, or these phenomenon that we featured here, as an auxiliary reason to one of the reasons in the list, that even though one of the reasons in the list that we haven't learned yet is not sufficient for extending the year, one of those reasons plus Gedoyim, Tloyim, and Gozolos would be the equivalent of two reasons from that list, which constitutes reason for extending a year. We continue in the source, four lines from the bottom in the Gemara. Ketzad, Rabbi Yanai Omer, Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. To illustrate this issue of having these Gedoyim, Tloyim, and Gozolos as a Sad, we see the following. So it was said by Rabbi Yanai in the name of Shimon Gamliel, Mehodoyin Anachno Lachon. We want to inform you. Before we go on, we notice a house form, another series marking, and in the margin we featured it, Mivne, and this Mivne, this feature of the house marking series goes until Omid Beis. Sidra Shel Hoidos, Shenishlechu Mi Beis HaNasi. It will be a series of announcements that were sent from the Beis HaNasi, from the leader's house to Klal Yisrael. So in this case, the message comes forth. Mahodoyin anachna, we are informing you, lechoin, begoizlaya rechichin, the birds are frail, are very young, the imraya deatkin, and the sheep are very young yet, the zimno deaviva lo moto, and the spring season has not yet arrived. The Shafris Milsa Ban Poi, and it appears in my eyes as being a positive thing and a desirable thing to Ve'oisifis Al Shosado Talsin Yomen, and to add, as a result of these factors, to add another month to this year, in this case to be more accurate, Al Shosado, to this year 30 days. We're going to add 30 days. So what do we see from this? We see that as far as a primary reason, we only have Aviv featured in this. As this we saw in the Rashi before, Aviv being a primary reason for extending year. However, we also mentioned that Aviv on its own is not sufficient grounds for adding a month to the year. However, that coupled with the the youthfulness of the animals required for these respective korbanos, is then reason enough for adding to the year. There are several markings that we have here that we'll appreciate quite a bit more as we go on in the Gemara. There's an arrow that's pointing to, that refers to Amud Beis. We'll have to come back to this later. The Gemara asks right now another question. We've dashed underlined Talsin Yoimin. This leads us up to the following. Why does it say here that Rav Shmuel Amliel is adding 30 days to the month when we find Rav Shmuel Amliel in the next source saying something a little bit different? Meisvei, Kamor Ibor Hashana, how much is the extension of year? Shloshim Yoim. Rav Shmuel Amliel, Omer, here the same speaker as was featured in the source just before says, Omer Chodesh. Chodesh means a month. Rashi explains it means 29 days. In fact, the Tanakhama says here 30 days, but Rav Shmuel Amliel here says 29 days. In the source just before, Rav Shmuel Amliel himself said 30 days. Amar Rav Papa, Rotsu Chodesh, Rotsu Shloshim Yom. The truth is that the two sources are really to be combined and in order to form the true opinion of Rav Shmuel Amliel. And he says, if they want, they add a 30-day period, and if they want, they add a 29-day period. The Gemara now has a very, very interesting attempt, an attempted observation. We call this, we use a long marking here, called it Nisayon, and circle it. You see that to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. And it goes down quite a long way, almost halfway down Amud Beis. What is going to happen over here? So, the introductory note that we will use to explain this will appear on Amud Beis. Well, let's begin the Gemara. Ta Chazi, come and behold my Ika vein tkifoi kadmoi le'invasoni basroi. Behold the difference between those who we perceive to be the tough earlier ones as opposed to the humble later ones. What the Gemara is going to try to show is that the earlier representative, earlier generation, who we feel or we've seen to be a tough individual, and yet when contrasted with the humble later individual, we find a sense of humility on the part of that earlier tough individual. Who are the people that are going to be featured over here? So we'll see Rabban Gamliel, who is the earlier generation, and his son, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Rabban Gamliel, who Rashi points out is featured in other Gemaras, have been rather a tough individual. Without getting into details, Mirza Shem, we will be learning all of Shas, and you'll be able to see all of the different stories that indicate his toughness. And Rabbi Shimon Gamliel is featured in Maseches Bava Metzia with an expression of extreme humility. And yet, we will see something over here that is quite interesting. Let's, in the note that we featured to title this discussion, the no say in the outside margin, we have Nisayon Laharois Hevdeil, an attempt. And we use the term attempt because the Gemara at the very end will deflect this attempt. Nisayon, an attempt to show the difference between Takife Kadmoi and Visoni Basroi, between the tough earlier ones and the humble later ones. So we begin. Tetzanya. Maisa Rav Gamliel, Shoyo Yoshev Algav Mala Bahar Abayis. Rav Gamliel was once sitting on one of the approaches to Har Abayis, Vayal Yochanan Sofer Haloz, Oymeid Lefonov. And his scribe Yochanan was standing in front of him. V'shalosh igros chatuchos lefonav munochos, and there were three documents prepared to be sent out. Igros chatuchos, literally, there are letters that have been cut. Could be that it was parchment or tablets of some kind that on which letters were etched out or written to be sent out. We've featured a brackets here with an explanation that's noted by the asterisk. So we're reading this together at the asterisk in the outside margin. You notice Tam Hasograyim, the reason for these brackets is Rak Mispar Shaloish Shayach Leibur Shana Vetsuras Diburo Shoam Liel. We really only need the third example to focus on our point, which is relevant to the speech of Ram Gamliel, in which which point is really highlighted by the Gemara. Now, that having been said, let us go through the Gemara straight. The use of a double line has been employed over here to feature a series, and that's explained in our Mivneh heading. The double line told Igrusa, take the letter, and the house marking is, we already started that on Omid Aleph, that was the announcements that were made. We'll see over here three of these announcements that are, each announcement is shayach, has specific reference to the locale to which it was sent. Omar Lo, continuing now in the Gemara, told Igris Sochara, Ram Gamliel says to his scribe, take one of these letters, Uksoiv, and write La'achno b'nei Galilah, Ilah, to our brethren that are in the upper Galilee, Ula'achno b'nei Galilah ta'to, and our brethren that are in the lower Galilee, Shlomchon Yazgo, the opening of the letter is peace, a great amount of peace be unto you. Mahodoyin anachno lechoin, we want to inform you, dizman biuro mata, that the time of biur is after the third and sixth year of the 7-year agricultural cycle. So you could say in year 4 and in year 7. The zman of biur, this is the time to take care of all tithes that haven't been taken care of yet, has arrived, that motto has arrived, la'afrushe maisro mi ma'atono de zesa, to tithe any untithed olives and olive oil from the olive press. The ma'atono de zesa, literally, Rashi says, is the place that the olives were gathered up in which they would heat up and get ready for the olive oil process. The point being that in the Galilee region, they primarily were involved with olive and olive production, and hence his letter to them concerning this particular topic of Biur Maisris. During these years, after year 3 and after year 6, it's no longer permissible to have the tithes lying around. So the truma has to be given to the Kohanim, the Maaser Rishon to the Levim, the Maaser Sheni, they'll have to do biur to it, and to destroy it, and the Maaser Ani to make sure it's given to the Aniyim. A second region that will be featured will be in the next letter, will be the Yehuda region, in the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, which was known for its grain production. So the same issue of taking care of the tithes, but in this case regarding the grain production, which was characteristic of the southern part of Eretz Yisrael, Vitul Igruso Chado Uksov, take another letter and write in it Lachno B'nei Droma, Shlomchon Yazgon B'nei Droma, the southern part of Israel, peace, great peace be unto you, Mahodoyin Anachno Lachon, we're informing you, Dizman Bi'ura Mota, La'afrushi Maisro Me'oimre Shibalaya, that the Zman of Biur, the time for getting rid of the tithes that haven't been taken care of yet, has arrived to tithe from the sheaves of grain. We now approach the third letter. The third letter will have greater reference to our general sugya, because in this section of the Tanaic source, we're going to mention the issue of extending a year, and we're also going to feature the method or the form of speech that characterized Rabbi Gamliel, and then we're going to contrast this with what we had seen before by Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, his son. So we continue. V'tul igris ochada, and take another letter. Uksov la'achno b'nei galvasa v'bavel. And write a letter to to the Jews that are in the Golos and the exile in Bavel and in Modai and all the other exiles, places that were far away and needed to be informed about issues regarding the calendar. Shalom chan yazgo li'olam. Peace be unto you forever. Mahodoyin anachna lachon, we are informing you, the goizlaya rikichin, the imraya, the adkin, like we saw before, the birds are very soft or very frail, they're young, and the sheep are also young. Vizimno daviva lomoto, and the spring season has not yet arrived, which is, as we mentioned in our discussions before, the grains are not ripe yet. Veshafro milsa ba'anpoi uba'anpo chaverai, and it appears justified in my eyes and in the eyes of my colleagues. The squiggle underline is used as additional emphasis in addition to the dashed underline, which is to draw your attention to this particular phrase. We offer an additional emphasis on the expression anpoi de chavroi, as we'll come back to this in a moment. Ve'osivas al shos oda, and we're going to add to this year yoimen tlosin, 30 days. Now, if we employ the arrows that we've supplied, we look at this line where it says v'shafro milsa banpoi uva anpoi chavroi, and contrast this with what we see on Omid Aleph, the arrow found at the bottom part of the page, where a similar expression used by Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says v'shavas milsa ba'anpoi. There's no reference to chaverai. He doesn't make any reference to his colleagues. He makes reference to himself that I feel it's important to necessary to add to the year. No reference to colleagues. Reference to colleagues is an expression of humbleness, of humility, that I'm not the sole decision maker. It's me together with my friends who used the expression of humility. Dafka Rabban Gamliel, who we know from other cases, was a rather harsh individual or a tough individual. Without getting into great detail, we might view him as an uncompromising individual. Far be it from us to use that in the negative, but let us say it shows a certain level of strength and forcefulness that Rabban Gamliel had, and yet he spoke in a more humble fashion than his son, who we know to have been himself a meek or humble individual. An interesting note. The Gemara, however, rejects this and says, Dilma Boser de Ivruhu. It could be that Rabban Gamliel's expression of humility was said dafka after the situation that he was in fact impeached from his leadership position. And as a result of his being removed from his leadership position, he had to speak in humble terms. So, as a result of this, we cannot necessarily come to the conclusion that the Gemara tried to at the beginning of our long attempt. Before we continue in the Gemara, we have a topic heading in the outside margin. The Nosei, Hilchos Ibur Shana. We're going to see numerous points as we go on down the Gemara, and we feature them here. Ma Goreim La'aber, what would be a cause for extending a year? A second point, Al Gimel Arosois Shelo Higia Shom Oviv. Three geographic regions will be featured, and if in those geographic regions it appears that the spring season, the ripening of the grains, has not yet arrived, we'll have to see if how many of those regions will be grounds for extending the year. But the feature will be issue of geography. Another point, Ein Ma'abrin Elo B'Yehuda. The declaration of the extension of a year is to be made in the Yehuda region. and Ein Ma'abrin B'Shnei Batzoras. And the final point that we're featuring over here is that we do not extend a year if they're experiencing a famine period. Turning to the Gemara, Tanu Rabbanan. Al Shloisha Dvarim Ma'abrin Es Hashana. Notice we're still using the diamond form to continue the series that we started on the previous Omid. So we say that for three things we extend a year. Al Ha'oviv, V'al Peros Ilon, V'al HaTkufa. Oviv is a reference to, we said, spring season, but more specifically it's a reference to the grains that usually ripen in the spring season. If we have a situation where it appears the grains are not ripened yet, and yet the Nisan is rapidly approaching, what we say is, since Pesach has to come out the Tkufas HaOviv, or B'Chodesh HaOviv, and Chodesh HaOviv is a solar phenomenon, therefore it may be deemed necessary to add a month so as to buy time, so that by the time Chodesh HaOviv does come about, the grains will be ripe. Peros Ilon, we mentioned earlier, has to do with the ripening of fruits so that they are ripe at the time Shavuos comes around. So if you have a situation where it appears that Shavuos, which comes out in the month of Sivan, seems to be arriving, and yet the fruits won't be ripe by that time, the decision will be made to extend the year and hold off on Shavuos, so that by the time the Shavuos holiday does come around, the Peros HaIlon will be ripe. And the Al HaTkufa. Tkufa has to do with the season. For example, the Rosh Hashanah is supposed to come out, Sukkot more accurately, is supposed to come out in Tkufas Tishrei. So if you have a situation where it appears that the summer season, and this is based on calculations that the Chachamim made, but that if it appears that the summer season will be tarrying, will be hanging around, and at a point in time in which Tishrei, the lunar Tishrei, will set upon us, and it's still during the summer hot season, the Tkufas Tammuz, which is with a solar phenomenon associated with the summertime, is still around, and it appears that Sukkot is going to come about. Therefore, the decision will be made to hold off, to add a month, thereby delaying the arrival of Sukkot at a time in which it will come out during not Tkufas Tammuz, but during the autumn season, Tkufas Tishrei. That's called Tkufa. Al Shnai Mehem Abrin, based on two of these three reasons, we will extend the year. Val Echad Mehem Eim Abrin. But based on one of them alone, in other words, if two of the others are non-considerations, that particular, or only one of these would be a consideration, that's not grounds for adding to the year. Ubizman She'oviv Echad Mehem Hakol Smechin. If one of the two reasons is that the grain is not ripe, people's minds will be at rest. It's literally everyone will be happy. We'll explain that in a moment. If the grains are not ready, and as a result of that, we're going to push off Nisan another month, people won't be upset. They won't get the feeling that the Isur Chodosh is being imposed upon them. But we haven't mentioned a word about that. So let's explain the following. According to the Torah, one is not allowed to benefit from the new grains, from the New Year's crops, which ripen up in during the grains ripen around Pesach time. Many of you may be familiar with the Omer. The Korban Omer was a barley offering that was done on the 16th of Nisan, and that allowed the use of the new grains by the general public. So imagine a situation that the new grains aren't ripe anyway by Nisan time. And as a result of that, it was decided to add a month. that plus one of the other reasons. People will figure, well, we couldn't use the grains anyway. However, if you had a situation whereby the other two were reasons for extending the year, but the other was not a reason, namely, the grains would be ready during Nisan without extending the year. That means, Tes Zayin Nisan, if it would arrive on time, so to speak, people would be able to enjoy their grains immediately. However, if we're going to decide to extend the year for the other two reasons, Peros Ha'ilon and Tekufa, but not Oviv, what are we really saying? We're really saying that the grains, even though they would have been ready by Nisan, we're going to add another month, delay Nisan by a month, people seeing that their grains are ready and still they're not able to benefit from it because the lunar Nisan is not going to arrive for another month because we extended the year by putting another Adar before the Nisan. So people will see the grains are ready and we still can't benefit from them because your Tes Zayin Nisan is being delayed by a month. That will cause people a sense of strain that here the grains are ready and we can't benefit from them. Therefore, if the grains are not ready, and hence that's one of the reasons for extending the year, people say, oh, we wouldn't be able to benefit from the grains anyway. Rabbi Shimon Gamliel Omer, the source continues, says, Al Hatkufa, and that's the end of the source. It's rather unclear what is he trying to do by saying Al Hatkufa. Ibayalaho, the Gemara wants to clarify, Al Hatkufa Smechin. Is Rav Shimon Gamliel saying that if Tkufa is one of the reasons for the adding of a month, people are happy? Or is Rav Shimon Gamliel coming to disagree with the Tanakhama and say that because of the Tkufa consideration alone we can extend the year, whereas the Tanakhama said you need two considerations? Teku. Before we go on in the Gemara, let us glance at Rashi. Al Hatkufa, Bein Al Tkufas Tamuz, whether it be the issue of the summer season, Shemis Akeves Vinim Sheches, that's tarrying and sticking around, She'ein Tkufas Tishrei Nefelas Ad Avor HaChag, and as a result of the summer season lasting a long time, the Tkufas Tishrei will come about at a point that Sukkis has already passed. So as a result of this lack of synchronization, whereby we want Sukkis to come out during Tkufas Tishrei, Ma'abrin. Denafkolon lekamon mikro. That phenomenon of having to synchronize Sukkis with Tkufas Tishrei is learned from Sukkim. Bein al tkufas teves, shenim shavzmano ate zayanisen, or you have a situation where the other tkufa, where the winter season is tarrying and lasting until, it will last until the 16th of Nisan, shavo soimer dilo besoch tkufas teves, it would come out in such a case that they'll end up having Tes Zayin Nisan, which is the time for bringing the Omer, and it's still the winter season. So ma'abrin lidchois esamoy adois. These tkufa considerations, either the long-lasting summer season or the long-lasting winter season, would be reason for extending the year. And by extending the year, we're thereby going to delay the arrival of Sukkot so that it comes out in Tkufas Tishrei, or will delay the arrival of Nisan so that it will come out at a time that is no longer the winter season. Those are the tkufa considerations. The other issue we want to just want to clarify here is that it could be in our question regarding Rav Shimon Gamliel that Al HaTkufa they would be happy, because if the Tkufa, if the Tkufas Tishrei comes out at the right time, if you look in Rashi we can see this explained even more clearly toward the lower part of the narrow lines, Ibayalaho Al HaTkufa Smechen She'im HaTkufa No Felas Ketikuna B'tchilas Tishrei V'heim Ma'abrin Hashona B'shvil Dvorim Achirim. Imagine that the autumn season would fall out at its expected time at the beginning of the Tishrei month, and they would extend the year for one of the other reasons. As a result of that, Sukkos would be delayed into the cold season. Then the people who are coming to Yerushalayim would suffer because of the rains. Seasons follow the solar phenomenon. And as a result of that, if the Tkufa was a reason for extending the year, in other words, Tkufas Tishrei at this point in time will be arriving late, and we need the summer season is lasting a long time, and in order for Sukkos to come out in its expected Tkufa, we have to add to the year. That would be good. That's how you smash him. If, however, or the other possibility is that Rav Shmuel is coming to say that Tkufa would be reason alone for adding to the year, as opposed to the Tanakhama that said you need both reasons, the Gemara nevertheless leaves this off as Teku, as unresolved. Tanu Rabbanan. We continue with the series of sources regarding extension of year. Al Shloisha Arotzois Ma'abr Nesoshana. Regarding the geographic areas concerning the issue of grain ripening or fruit ripening, where? So the places are three regions: Ma'abir Nesashana, Yehuda, the Eiver Hayarden, the Hagolil. The southern region of Israel, the Eiver Hayarden would be the eastern bank of the Jordan River. And Golil, the northern part of Israel, al shtayim mehem ma'abrin v'al achs mehem ma'abrin. If in two of these regions you have the situation of the grains are not ready or the fruits are not going to be ripening on time unless we add a month, if you have two of the three regions, then we will add. But if in one of the three these things are not happening on time, we will not extend the year. Ubizman Yehuda achas mehen, if Yehuda is one of the two regions, hakol smechen. That means that if Yehuda is one of the regions where we see that the grains are not going to be ripe by Tes Zayin Nisan, so people's minds are put at ease. She'ein oimer bo elom Yehuda. The preferable way of performing the mitzvah of Hakrovas Omer is by bringing grains from Yehuda. Therefore, if the grains are not ready in Yehuda, and by extending the year they will become ready for the Omer offering, people will feel happy, because that way they'll be performing the mitzvah min hamufchar, the mitzvah in the preferable way, by bringing the grains from Yehuda. If, however, you would have a situation that in Yehuda the grains are ready, and we're going to extend the year, so the Omer will be brought in the non-mitzvah min hamufchar fashion, and that would cause people to be less sameach. Tanu Rabbanan, ein ma'abrin es hashanim elo biYehuda. In other words, Beis Din that rules on extending the year must be a Beis Din that's kavua in Yehuda. V'imibruah begolil mi'uberes. If, however, it was extended in the Golil, if Beis Din in Golil declared it to be an added month to the year, then it would be binding. He testifies that if they would extend it, announce the extension in Golil, it would not be binding. Why does he feel that a decision to extend made in Golil is not binding? Omakro, the pasuk says, "L'shichno sidushu v'asa shama." Kol drisha shata doresh lo yu elo b'shichenu shel makom. All teachings and rulings that you make shall not be any place other than shichenu shel makom, as a reference to Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim was in Yehuda. Tanu Rabbanan, ein ma'abrin es hashana elo bayom. The decision, the announcement to add to a month to the year, must be made during the day, not at night. And if it were declared at night, Eino Muberes. it's not binding. Ve'ein mekachin es achodesh elo bayom, and kiddush achodesh, the acceptance of witnesses and the declaration mekudosh mekudosh is done only by day. Ve'im kitshua balaylo eino mekudosh, and if they were to be mekadesh it at night, it would not be mekudosh. Omar Rabbi Abba, my craw, what is the pasuk that bears this out? Tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kese liyom chageinu. Ezehu chag shahachodesh miskase bo. Which holiday comes out when the new moon is hidden, when it's not clearly visible? Hevi omer ze rosh hashana. Rosh Hashanah is the very beginning of the month, and hence the moon isn't quite visible. Uksiv ki choik liYisrael hu mishpat leElokei Yankiv. Ma mishpat bayom af kiddush hachodesh bayom. So we'll explain this. Mishpat is court cases are done by day, and that's based on a pasuk v'hoya bayom hanchilo esbonov. And that pasuk, which deals with inheritances, which is often a court matter, it says in the pasuk bayom. And in this pasuk, it says mishpat is bayom, so too the choik liYisrael is bayom. The Rashi explains, as we look at the Rashi at the bottom of the page, Hevei Omer Zeh Rosh Hashanah Shechaga Barosh Chodesh Hu. It's a holiday that comes out at the beginning of the month. The other holidays could not be referenced to in this pasuk. They come out in the middle of the month when the moon is clearly visible. Oksiv, it says in this pasuk, he choik klomar chok she Yisrael oisim ba'oisir chag, the law or the practice that's done by Klal Yisrael during that holiday. And what is the practice that's done during the holiday of Rosh Hashanah? Dainu Kiddush HaChodesh, being that it's the beginning of the month is sanctified. Harei hu, this issue of sanctifying a month is kemishpat, which is also featured in the pasuk, u'mishpat b'yom. And court cases take place by day, d'chdi b'yom hanchilo esbonov. K'nei darshinim b'echodin imamas, this is darshan in that particular perek. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.